Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 12, Mahini Murti bewilders Lord Shiva, text number 13. So you read 12 yesterday? He did 12, just only 12. Okay. Yena samohita. There's no purpose. I'll just read the translation. My Lord, we have come here desiring to see that form of your Lordship, which you showed to the demons to captivate them completely, and this way enable the demigods to drink nectar. I'm very eager to see that form. Would you like to see that form too? Text 14. Shri Shugavacha Evam Abhyartito Vishnur Bhagavan Shula Panina Prahasya Bhava Gambiram Girisham Pratya Basata. Shri Shugavacha. Shishuga Deva Goswami said, Evam, in this way, Abhyartitaha, being requested, Vishnu Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shula Panina, by Lord Shiva, who carries a trident in his hand. Prahasya, laughing. Bhava Gambiram, with serious gravity. Girisham, unto Lord Shiva. Pratyabhasita, replied. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sri Gadeva Goswami said, when Lord Vishnu was thus requested by Lord Shiva, who carries a trident in his hand, he smiled with gravity and replied to Lord Shiva as follows. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is known as Yogeshvara, Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna. Mystic yogis want to acquire some power by the practicing the yoga system. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is known as the Supreme Lord of all mystic power. Lord Shiva wanted to see the Mohini Murti, who was captivating the entire world. And Lord Vishnu is gravely thinking of how to captivate Lord Shiva also. Therefore, the word Bhava Gambiram is used here. The illusory material energy is represented by Durga Devi, who is the wife of Girisha, or Lord Shiva. Durga Devi could not captivate Lord Shiva's mind, but now that Lord Shiva wanted to see Lord Vishnu's feminine form, Lord Vishnu, by his mystic power, would assume a form that would captivate even Lord Shiva. Therefore, Lord Vishnu was grave, at the same time was smiling. There are three aspects of gaining experience, and everyone exists for experience. No one's trying to exist in a void. We don't wake up in the morning and think, what would it be like to be in the void today? If we go to Prasadam and there's nothing there, and they say, well, today we're going to experience the void in Prasadam. See what it's like, the void in your stomach. So everyone wants to experience something. And generally speaking, we want to find out what would be the best experience. And we want to find out what experience can we have for as long as possible that would make us happy. If you go to the store to buy an ice cream cone and they give you 1/100th of a scoop of ice cream and say enjoy. We doubled the price today, but we're giving you a little less ice cream. And people would be very disappointed. Because although we know ice cream has a beginning and an end, we would expect it to last a little bit longer than 10 seconds. Similarly, if something's advertised that it's going to last, it's going to give you happiness for a long, long time, then people will be very much interested in it. Generally, things in the material world don't last very long. It's like they buy very expensive presents for children nowadays. And after Christmas, or whatever celebration there is, the children usually get tired of playing with the toy and just throw it in the room delegated for the toys. They need a whole room nowadays delegated for just toys, because the children rapidly get tired of them. Because there's not much juice, there's not rich real nectar in playing with a dead plastic toy. Even if it's a cute rubber ducky, still it won't warm the heart up for very long. So everyone wants some relationship. If we can't get a relationship with a living entity, we ran down the list. This is my 15th marriage. Didn't work out. Now I've tried pet dog, cat, goldfish. Now I'm down to my rubber ducky. Maybe I hope that at least we can have a nice relationship. It's always, whatever I say, it smiles, so it's so far so good. So people want a loving relationship that lasts forever, and therefore astrologers usually make a good living. People are looking for their soulmate. Finding out, are we compatible? Are we going to stay together for at least a couple of years? Break the local record for marriage. So people are jignasu. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. Krishna advises Arjuna and all of us to approach someone who knows the truth. Now everyone's going to approach someone, mahajno yena katasa panta. Whoever we think has what we want, we're going to approach them. Because then we consider them to be a great personality. Tarko apratishta shutiya vibina nasavari shiryasyana bina. There may be many different ways of trying to ascertain what reality is. We may argue with each other about reality, but generally speaking, most people are not trained to accept good arguments nowadays. They're trained to defy good arguments. They've been trained in voidism, impersonalism, and materialism, which has no real standard of truth. And therefore, arguments go on unlimitedly, without any conclusion. Because people have been trained in what's called empiric science, so-called science, which means whatever your senses tell you, that for you, that's your reality. And that's all that counts, is what's real for you. There's no objective reality. There's only pratyaksha, your experience. And if you have any brain left, then you may have anuman, you may try to figure out on the basis of your experience what reality is. But there's no shabda, there's no standard of reality. Krishna forbid that you believe in Krishna. If you enter into university and you actually believe in God, then you won't be able to finish your course. because everything you'll do is wrong. Your whole philosophy is wrong. And modern education is meant to correct that philosophy. So you give up the idea that there's any standard truth. The Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh, the students there, the first few years, because they were connected with the college or university, first few years they wrote their essays, and the college more or less forgave them for all their fanatic writing, belief in this a truth. But the fourth year, the college couldn't tolerate it anymore and said that you can't graduate and get a degree from our college if you have this fanatic philosophy, like there's truth in the world. There's some other truth other than the one that you create for yourself. Therefore, if you inquire from such people, jignasu, if you're inquisitive from such people, you won't learn anything. Actually, you'll learn ignorance. You'll get misdirected. And everything will be just a waste of time. Your life will end in frustration. Although they may give you so many toys to play around with, so many honors and things like that, but after a while, even those things will become a little bit disgusting. So Krishna says the formula is submission. People are submissive, not to the teacher, not to the subject matter, but to the money, the carrot that's dangling before them, hoping that by their education they'll be able to reach the carrot. The donkey will reach the carrot, carrying the heavy load of books, education, job, family, so many different things. The donkey's carrying this very, very heavy load, and he has a carrot sticking in front of him, thinking that if I take one more step, then I'll be able to reach the carrot, and I'll get what I was looking for. Bliss. Carrot heaven. But every step he takes, the carrot advances one more step also. So he never gets the carrot heaven. Except at the end of the day, the washman takes the load of wash clothes off his back and allows him to reach down and get the grass beneath his feet to eat and saves the carrot for tomorrow. Why waste a good carrot on an ass? So modern society has this educational system which is meant to induce people's desires, a curiosity. What would it be like to take this drug? You've tried sex in so many different ways. What about this way? You've eaten everything that, like in China, they say they eat everything that flies in the sky except for a kite. That everything that crawls on the ground except for a tank. A tank. And everything that swims in the ocean except for a Chinese boat, junk. So they've tried everything. And still they want to try something different. So people are curious. Krishna's curious. He wants new experiences all the time also. But he knows where real happiness is. And therefore he doesn't try to get happiness by squeezing dead bodies. His happiness is in the internal potency. And therefore he's curious, what will today life be like in my loving exchanges with my pure devotees? Krishna wants to serve them, increase his service, his loving attitude towards them, and they want to increase their loving attitude towards him, and therefore every day is a new experience and ever-increasing loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. But in the material world, because they've taken Krishna away, everyone is curious, what will this taste like? What will that taste like? Maybe when they come up with a newer smartphone, then I'll get some more intelligence too. Everyone is curious, what's the next dead energy that they can experience? What will be that? What will be that like? What will that be like? Until people get tired, and then they want to destroy everything. In the mode of passion, people still have some impetus to enjoy something new. In the mode of ignorance, they want to destroy everything. Just like the children, they get some toy and they play around with it for some time. Then afterwards, their happiness isn't destroying it. Bhanusura, he had 1,000 arms, and he was the heavyweight champion in the universe. He used to fight with even the demigods, but it's very hard to block his punches. So he went to his benefactor, Lord Shiva, one day. He said, "My dear Lord Shiva, everywhere I go, I challenge the demigods and everyone else to fight, and they run away. So I'm wondering, would you like to fight with me?" So Lord Shiva gave him the benediction of 1,000 arms. So Lord Shiva said, "Oh, you foolish demon. You're so anxious that someone will come that you can fight with. But don't worry. Soon that hero will appear who will smash you to pieces, and your flag of victory will no longer fly." So the Lord, did Bhanusura become disturbed or anxious that his power would be diminished and he'd meet a hero who could defeat him? No, he became ecstatic. He couldn't wait. He got smashed to pieces. Why? Because he had 1,000 arms that were itching all the time, wanting to fight. And it's very uncomfortable. Just imagine if you had one arm and a bunch of mosquitoes biting you on that one arm. And they were itching the whole night, the whole day and the whole night. So anxious we'd become to get rid of the itching sensation. But imagine you had 1,000 arms that are itching like that. How uncomfortable it would be. So Krishna came, and indeed he cut off Bhanusura's 996 arms. And Bhanusura was happy. Now my arms don't itch so much. So similarly, modern civilization, people are just itching for sense gratification. They're just always disturbed. So they're looking forward to get smashed. So they all these things that are disturbing them, all these distractions will be taken away and they can go back to feeling a little bit more peaceful. They don't have to be bombarded by mass education, so-called education, just trying to invoke their lusty desires to enjoy the material world more and more. And the more they try to experience the material world, the more they become in the mode of ignorance, where there's no happiness either in the beginning or in the end or in the middle. That which is, Krishna says, yad agre chanubande cha sukamohanam atmanaha nidralasya Idralasya Pramadokta, something, Sukha something. Tat tamasam udaritam. Yadagre chanabande cha. Sukamohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramadoktam tamasam udaritam. That which in the beginning and at the end is blind to self-realization, which is based upon sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be happiness in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, we become desirous of enjoying the material world unlimitedly becomes a burden, and then one desires to go to sleep, get a rest, fall into illusion, go mad, so that one's goes out of one's mind completely. So the mind doesn't disturb one, because one is in such illusion, one doesn't even know one's disturbed anymore. I remember I had one when I, before I became a devotee, they had something called LSD. I don't know if it's still around. People still take LSD? Do they? Bad habits die slowly. Anyhow, so I didn't take LSD, but at that time. So, but still, I had friends who were talking about the glories of LSD, how it sends you high forever. But they were taking it, they were coming down. So then they came up with something called, I forget what it was called, something DDT or something. ACD, I think. I can't, I don't know. ACT, I think it was. And it was 10,000 times more powerful than LSD. So if you took it once, you literally never came down. You spend your whole rest of your life hallucinating. So people took it because it saves you money. You didn't have to get illusion every day. You could get it forever. So that's called the mode of ignorance. After all, without the absence of knowledge, the absence of suitable examples, because what's being advertised in the newspapers and the magazines, even at the universities, are all very bad examples. Without any God consciousness, without any understanding of the soul or the Supreme Lord, and therefore everyone's desires are directed simply to different varieties of sense gratification. But Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, then the darkness can't put the match out. So if we present Krishna and people get some experience with Krishna, then they may become a little inquisitive. How can we get some more Krishna? How can we get some more prasadam? How can we get some more real knowledge? How can we get some more good association? How we can get something? They become inquisitive. What is the next step so I can get more of this? So that's our business, is to become inquisitive ourselves. What is my next step so that I get more of Krishna? And if we think we have enough of Krishna, then we'll think about what's my next step to get more sense gratification. It's just normal. We're always going to be inquisitive because we're eternally inquisitive. So unless we're developing our inquisitiveness to become more Krishna conscious, then we'll be forced to develop our inquisitiveness for some time, how to become more materially experienced. So here, Lord Shiva, he has no interest in anything material, but he's inquisitive spiritually. So when we hear this pastime, we shouldn't think that exactly Shiva fell into material maya, he fell into yoga maya. But Krishna wanted to demonstrate something. He wanted to demonstrate that even Lord Shiva can apparently become agitated if Krishna wants him to be, even agitated spiritually, which appears to be material agitation. And for all intents and purposes, it's hard for us to discriminate between one type of agitation and the next. In any case, there are lessons that we learned in this particular pastime. And the main lesson is, be careful about what we're desiring. Markandeya Rishi was a self-realized soul. He lived for 2 days of Brahma, which is a good amount of time for us. A day of Brahma is 4,300,000 times 1,000, which is 4,300,000,000 years. I mean, even if you had a birthday and they actually put candles on the cake, it'd take them years to finish putting the candles on. And he lived for 2 days of Brahma. But when Lord Vishnu came to visit him, Lord Narayan, then before Lord Narayan left, he didn't even ask Lord Narayan a question. But he had this thought within his mind, what is your Maya like? After some time when you're not in Maya, then you become inquisitive. I wonder what that Maya was like that I used to be in. Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan was very unhappy that he was thinking like that. Because by that desire, especially when the age that he was living in, one's desires would actually produce a result. So because he desired like that, then suddenly, then the end of the universe came, the end of at least a day of Brahma came, and there became a big inundation that filled up most of the universe with water, including Markandeya Rishi's ashram. So now he was drowning the ocean of devastation. Not for 1 year or 100 years or 1,000,000 years. It was the end. It was the night of Brahma. So that's again 4,300,000,000 years. He was in the ocean of devastation. Sharks were trying to eat him. Whales were trying to eat him. Tamangal fish were trying to eat him. It was cold. There was nothing to eat, and he had to keep on swimming. So he was getting a little frustrated and tired. And then he saw Krishna lying on a banyan leaf with his thumb, with his big toe in his mouth, because Krishna wants to do something during devastation time. So it's a time off for him in the material world. So he decides that he'll put his big toe and suck on it, because he had heard that his devotees relish the taste of his lotus feet. So even Krishna is curious to find out what their taste like. So he spends the time of devastation sucking on his toes, get the nectar from his lotus feet. And then, of course, when Lord Markandeya Rishi saw Lord Vishnu breathed in. Lord Vishnu, actually, it was Krishna on the banyan leaf, breathed in. And Markandeya Rishi was sucked into his body. And then he was back in his ashram. And then Krishna breathed out and he was thrown back into the ocean of devastation, suffering again. But finally the rains went down, the 4,300,000,000 years came to an end, and then he was back in his ashram again. And we can understand Markandeya Rishi never had the thought again. He never thought, what is your Maya like? Now we may think, sure, after 4,300,000,000 years, he must have learned the lesson. But he had some intelligence, because we've been here for a lot longer than 4,300,000,000 years, and we still haven't learned the lesson. We're still wondering what your Maya is like. Therefore, the only hope is to get some higher taste, to be curious what Krishna is like, to develop that curiosity by hearing about Krishna from these books and serving. Then we might, if we can develop some curiosity, what it would be like to experience Krishna consciousness, then we can make some advancement and be saved. Because everything depends on our desire. All Krishna can do is try to put or make the arrangements so that our desire will awaken for Krishna consciousness or gradually develop. That's all he can do, because everything depends upon our desire. Krishna doesn't force us to go back to the spiritual world. We have to want to go back to the spiritual world. So that's the soul's desire. The soul has to become interested and determined to go back to the spiritual world. But if we're interested in so many other things too, along with that, then we might get a chance now and in the future to come back again in the material world and have the opportunity to perform devotional service, and also to find out what Maya is like in its different varieties. So until we develop devotional service to the extent we're not interested in Maya anymore, then we're always have some inclination for so many other desires too, which can be problematic, or will be problematic. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? I know you're going to thank me for the class.
Yes, Guru Maharaj, I'm thankful for your classes. Believe me, I truly am. We hear over and over again that, you know, the path of sense gratification leads to misery. But yet, in spite of hearing, in spite of reading, in spite of understanding, still we fall prey to all these temptations and we end up miserable. So in spite of having the lessons, you know, coming to us again and again, we're still impelled to do these things. So what is the cure for this situation?
We'll keep on chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Prabhupada's books, worship the deities, serve the devotees, and live in a nice holy place, in a spiritual atmosphere. Then gradually we'll make some progress. I mean, if we look back 20 years, however most of you, our situation then was certainly much more miserable and unfortunate than it is now.
So that's true.
We have to be a little patient.
Thank you.
Go on with the process, and then Maya will always try and discourage us, thinking that you're not going anywhere. So we should be humble and think, yes, I'm not going anywhere. I really need Krishna's mercy.
Right. Thank you.
Anything else? Khala. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.